翻訳はないです。残念なことです。けれども理解のためにこのメッセージをゆっくり話します。JCCT is undergoing change, and with this change comes stress, uneasiness, and even perhaps confusion. A change moves us from a comfortable position to an unfamiliar situation, and this causes doubt and perhaps confusion. All the more we need to look to God to take away the distractions and to show us the way. We need to all the more lean on His direction. It is appropriate at this time to ask some basic questions. For example, what is a church? What role or function does the church play in your lives? And you can also ask that the basic questions as far as what is the church and the functional role, we should all agree on this. However, there may be differences of view when it comes to assessing one's church experience. Most non-Christians think about the church as a building. Church is not a building. It is not an organization, it's not an institution. It's not a business. The church is a body. It's an organism. In the scripture reading that you just went through, Romans 12:4-5, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the other. So the church is our spiritual family. It is God's family. In fact, it's called the body of Christ. Colossians 1:24 ends with this statement. For the sake of his body, which is a church. Now the church serves several functions. Worship, discipleship, its various ministries, and of course, mission, that is spreading the gospel throughout the world. But this morning, let us focus on fellowship, which is the core function of the church. The word fellowship has lost much of its biblical meaning. Today, fellowship usually refers to socializing, food, and having fun. For example, after worship service, we say to stay for the fellowship, by which we mean stay for the potluck lunch and for the socializing. But the biblical meaning of fellowship goes much, much deeper. Our word fellowship comes from the Greek word koinonia, which is used very frequently in the New Testament. It refers to the communion with God and with fellow Christians. By the way, koinonia was the process by which this church, GCCT, came about. This was the process that was used. It was from the intimate, informal gathering that GCCT emerged. So let us examine the biblical fellowship. First, it is a commitment. of belonging to the family of God. It's a relationship where each member is connected. There is a commitment to belonging to God's family. Individual members are connected by a very strong bond. Generally speaking, experts say that we human beings have an innate feeling of belonging. We want to belong to something. They call this tribalism. We need to belong to something, whether it is a family, a tribe, a community, an organization, a club. Why? Because it gives us identity. In the spiritual realm, it is belonging to God's family. We are created to belong. We are not meant to be hermits. We're not supposed to be loners. We are supposed to be with others. And in fact, the word together is used very often in the Bible. So we are meant to be together with other people. In God's family, the church, unity is complete. We are all connected to one another. Each part of the body joined together. We have already cited Romans 12, 4 to 5. We read in 1 Corinthians 12, 25 to 27. So that there should be no division in the body, but that each part should have equal concern for others. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now we are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. So think about your physical body. That if one part is impacted, it would affect the other parts. Therefore, we are each individual members, but we are connected together in one body, the body of Christ. And we are totally dependent on each other. You know, the low point in my spiritual life came when I wasn't connected with the church. And, you know, it really dried up my spiritual life. Because if you take an organ out of the body, what happens? The organ shrivels up and dies. The organ cannot exist by itself. So we are meant spiritually to be with others and not to be by ourselves. The second aspect of biblical fellowship is the commitment to actively participate. You don't go spiritually by just attending worship service and being a passive spectator. You know, a spectator is like a consumer. It just takes in. It doesn't give. But a participant contributes and is a giver. We learn to grow by being a participant. You know, as an educator, I see this all the time. When I teach a lesson, I learn more than any of my students. This is so because I have spent more time preparing and thinking about the subject. And as a result, I have learned more. Those of you who have done any teaching, and I see several teachers here, you know what I'm talking about. Participation is also affected by the size of the group. If there are too many members, then a few can contribute. There are few opportunities to really participate. If I walk into a classroom, and let's say there's about 10 students, this class could be conducted as a seminar where there would be interaction with the students, and there could be a dialogue. But If I walk into a classroom and let's say there are about 20 to 30 students, the class has to be a lecture, and there will be very little student input. As some of you may know, I have an interest in Japanese politics. One of the questions that really intrigued me was why Japanese political parties is called Habatsu never seem to grow larger than about 90 members. Even the most powerful ones, like Tanaka Kakuei's faction. The answer I found was Mizuka. This is the Japanese word for close, being intimate. When the circle becomes large, what happens is that those on the peripheral, the outside, feel that they are not very close to the leader. They miss the very close personal relationship, those that the inner circle enjoy. As a result, what happens is that those on the peripheral, outside, tends to drop off, drip off, or move to another group. So participation is really affected by the size. The small size of JCCD can be an advantage. You know, all of you can participate. There's a lot of opportunities. If you can't think of one, you may want to see me after worship service, and I can give you a whole list. But it is only an advantage if we actually participate. Otherwise, it becomes a disadvantage. We only grow spiritually, that is, we build spiritual muscles when we participate, when we exercise in the fellowship of the church. The third aspect of biblical fellowship is the commitment to shared experience. This is the process of really experiencing life together. It's kind of an intimate relationship of loving, serving, giving, comforting one another. You know, such an intimate fellowship is affected also by size. The smaller, the better. I recall my experiences with large churches. You know, I could attend such churches and never talk to anyone. And sometimes I never met anyone I knew. Such was the size of these churches. You know, they could have two or three services. The only way I had a sense of fellowship was by belonging to a smaller group. So in my college days, I belonged to a college student Bible study. You know, when we first came to Tucson, we belonged to a very large church. Again, we really didn't have a sense of fellowship until we joined the married couple group. Then we felt some fellowship. So we are talking about face-to-face relationship. You know, in these days of social media, you know, you can have a lot of friends, so-called friends. But they're not really true friends because you really do not know these people. You only have true friends through intimate, close relationships. You know, at JCCD here, since we are a small group, we can have intimate relationship if you choose to do so. If you do not, then this advantage of size disappears. Pastor Jin has been giving messages on 1 John for the last couple of months. And, you know, here we have the message that we are called to commit to each other as we commit to Christ. We should love one another in the same way that Christ loves us. In fact, we are asked to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Now you ask, oh, this is really difficult. You know, how can we do this? 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. So you ask, you know, how can we do this? Well, it's possible because Christ gave his life for us. And we must show the same willingness to help other believers. So to love and care for our fellow members is really a constant theme in 1 John. 1 John 4:11. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. When we use the word love, it also entails other things as well. We are to encourage one another. We are to serve one another and also to pray for one another. Notice the word one another. If you want to count how many times one another is used in the Bible, I will save you some time by saying 58. 58 times it's used, one another. Well, what's the message? It's quite obvious that we should share our experiences with our brothers and sisters. This sharing of experience has to be authentic, not superficial. It is more than saying, good morning, how's the weather? Did you get rain in your part of town? Authentic means sharing intimate details, such as personal problems, feelings, shortcomings, fears. For real fellowship requires transparency and honesty. Is this easy to do? No, it's not. It is very difficult to be open because you're exposing yourself. We all have our ego. But the matters of the heart, you only share with friends. You don't share with strangers or acquaintances. You can share your pains with those who are sympathetic. Prayer requests can be made to those who genuinely care for you. You know, such intimacy makes it easy to understand one another. And therefore, we can more effectively help and support each other. So to summarize, biblical fellowship has three aspects. One, the members are all connected together in God's family. So that one part is rewarded, we all rejoice. When one part suffers pain, we all experience the pain. Secondly, members actively participate, thereby building spiritual muscles, growing spiritually. And finally, third, members share experiences, and that this sharing is authentic. It's intimate. You know, recently I was talking to an individual who had visited several of our churches in Japan in a conference. These churches were small in size, maybe something like what we have here in JCCT. He commented that he found them to be cold. He wasn't talking about temperature. Rather, he found that they lacked enthusiasm, excitement, warmth. Now, this might be the nature of Japanese culture. You know, the tendency of Japanese to be reserved, to hide their emotions, and not to be openly expressive. So it could be part of Japanese culture. On the other hand, perhaps it was due to the lack of biblical fellowship. Biblical fellowship is powerful. You know, when it's carried out in the church, there will be a true sense of joy and excitement, of belonging to God's family. You'll be able to see it. You're able to see it and feel it. The warmth when members actively love and care for one another. you know, with God's grace, this is what we want in JCCT. Let's pray. Almighty Father, we are so thankful that we can come together as the body of Christ. You are the head of it. We know that you have a plan for each individual member, and that you have a plan for the entire body. We know that we are connected to one another, and there is a dependency. If we try to do it by ourselves, we will falter. We will fail. So we need to come together and be joined. This is a team effort, the team for Jesus. We know that we have to be active in what we're doing. We cannot be passive spectators, expecting just to be served, but we need to contribute. We all have talents. And God has given us these talents. We should use them. So we recognize that we have to actively participate, and that we will, in turn, by exercising, we will be growing spiritually, and that we will not just be sitting and looking at things, but be real participants. And we know that we have to have a shared experience, that we need to really feel like a family, that we are not strangers. We know one another. We can share our thoughts. If we have some fears, we can share it. If we have failings, yes, we can admit it. But in this way, we can pray for one another. We can have empathy. We can sympathize. We can encourage one another. With transparency and honesty, we know how we stand before you and with each fellow Christians. So this is really the kind of fellowship that we want here in JCCT. We are small in numbers, but we know from our discussion that size can be an advantage if we take a look at this. That it can give us the kind of fervent spirit when we are close to one another, when we are intimate with one another. That smallness can be a big advantage. So Father, as we look to the changes that will be occurring in this church, we are totally dependent on your direction. But for our part, we need to recognize that we can each play a vital role. That this church will really stand out. That when visitors come and see us, that they will see the excitement, they will see the joy, they will see the love. There will be no coldness, but great warmth. This is really what we want for this church. We know the Holy Spirit can be at work. So, Almighty Father, we just thank you that we have this church and that we can play a truly important part in this community and, more importantly, in the lives of each one of us. Just help us to see the way. Open up our eyes, extend our vision, and that really we will stand out in this community, and that together we can be a credit not only to the community, but to the work of Christ here in Tucson. We praise your name. We ask in the name that is above all other names, name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.